Now it's recording.
Okay, so so we're doing the Birchas Shmuel Siman Yudalet. So the Birchas Shmuel is discussing the rush, and the Gemara says the Gemara Baba Kama discussing Zenene Vezelo Chaser. Essentially, Zenene the combination of Hanan Chisaron has four possible permutations. You can have someone who is Nene and someone who is Chaser occurring together. You can have someone who's not Nene and someone who's not Mechusar co-occurring. You can have someone who is Nene and the other person is not Chaser. Or you can have someone who's not Nene and the other person is Chaser. So so the case that Gemara brings in Baba Kama, Chaf Amad Aleph in the bottom, is a case of Adar B'Chaser Chaver Shel Midaito. So in that case, the Gemara discusses every permutation except the case where the person who stays in the property is not a nene, but the property is kamil agra. The property is something that is rented. So in that case, it's a case of ze lo nene v'ze chaser. So Tosfos holds that's a straight case of grama, because all you've done is been mevatel the kishel chaver, you've been mevatel the mamon of your friend, and that's grama. The Rif holds in that case that you would be chayev. So the Birchas Shmuel discusses the rush, and in discussing this case, the Birchas Shmuel says that the rush is machzik b'das harif. And the rush is lashon in that case where you are nene, where you are considered a nene, even though there's no hanas mamon because you're not a renter and the other guy is mechusar. The rush says umishum da'achas chisroni. So this guy can be kintaina. The renter can say this guy ate my chisaron. It's more than just it's true that it's just a case of grama in terms of mechanically that I was prevented from making money. But he has a kind of a direct involvement that doesn't just involve blocking my enrichment. He actually enjoyed impoverishing me in some way. So in that case, it would seem to be that the rush holds the chiddush of the rif is in this type of a case you would be chayev and it wouldn't be considered just grama. You would be chayev for tashlumei hana, not nezek. So the Birchas Shmuel says nira. Nira bir hadavar v'chin reisi mikfar b'sefer kedushas yom tov. Mishum diyesh lo hanas guf. He says that kedushas yom tov says that this is really a case of hanas guf, which we've been thinking of everything in terms of hanas mamon. So he says ubir hadavarim da al yedei da achas chisroni. He says gam hana kazu bas tfiyahi. He says this type of hana, which is hanas guf, is also actionable. It's also hana that you could recover through tashlumen in Beis Din. Ve'eno rak mazik l'chud. It's not a case of mazik. We don't say, oh, this isn't grama, it's nezek. No, this is hana. Ela dechashiv nena mishel chavero. Demasha nena hanas guf michisrono shel chavero. Havi gan kem bas tfiyah. Okay, so the first thing that the Birchas Shmuel does is to say that the chiddush of the kedushas yom tov is that this has a din mamon when there is a chisaron. So when you have this type of sensual hana, it's not hanas mamon, but it's sensual hana. When there's sensual hana that is entangled with a chisaron on the other side, that has a din of hanas mamon. So the Birchas Shmuel says v'tzarach ian im gam bezeh mahani mashinena mitocha chisaron mikfar. He says, would this work if the chisaron was not contemporaneous with the hana? He says the kamo shekosvu hatosvos sham, right? The Tosfos on Chaf Amud Beis, I think that's where it is. The Tosfos on Chaf Amud Beis, it brings the case of Truma Betoch Beis Habliya. So in that case, you have Chisaron Mikfar, because the guy is Mechusar before it makes it into the Beis Habliya. He says, in that case, the Im Hanena Hu Machmas HaChisaron Demitchila Chayev. That works. The Efshar Dedavka Benena Denene mamish in the tusaflo mamon v'rach b'chdei shelo yihielo den zen nene v'zelo chaser. The chisaron is only there to make it not a case of zen nene v'zelo chaser, but it's the chisaron is not actually doing anything to the hana. That's not the way Rav Moshe had it. This is sort of a different formulation.
Therefore, you don't need it to be
simultaneous. So therefore, right? Masha ein kein hacha be'eno nene. In our case, you're not really a nene hanas mamun directly. De ikar masha mechayva hu machmas de achas chesroni. Achas chesroni is what's making you chayav, not just what's taking it out of the category of zene and zelo chaser, but it's actually what's making you chayav. Efshar delo mahani lechayavo rakim chaser ata b'shas hanaso. So there, they have to be contemporaneous to get the din of hanas mamun. Now the problem here is that if you look at observe the Birchas Shmuel, what he's saying is that the case of Tochev Latoch Beis Habliya of the Truma is a classic case of Hanas Mamon. He says because Shinatusaf Lo Mamon, but we know from the Re, and it seems pretty clear in the Sugya. I mean, it's clear from the Re, but when you think about the Sugya, it makes a lot of sense that when it's in the Beis Habliya, it's no longer a commodity. It's oven min olam, like the Re says. It's not something that you could sell. So you can't say that when you have this truma, which you can't do anything with anyway, as a czar. I mean, it's a case, So you can't do anything with it anyway. And certainly in the Beis Habliya, it has nothing. It's not mamonous to you. It's oven min olam. So how is it netusaf lo mamon? How does that the Birchas Shmuel, the what seems to be the classic case of hanas mamon, of hanas guf, where you have achila with it, where something doesn't have any value as a commodity. That would seem to be the paradigmatic case of hanas guf, and yet the Birchas Shmuel says that that's a case of hanas mamon, and the case of hanas guf is where you stay in a guy's hotel for the night and you're not a renter. All right, so we have to understand how does the Birchas Shmuel understand this to be a case of hanas mamon. That's our question.
It's possible. Value,
so one approach would be to say that you this is simple over here, that you saved money on a meal and that's what it means hanas mamon. The strange thing here is that if you look at the lashon in the sugya, certainly the lashon of Rashi, it doesn't seem the hanad isn't described as kind of that type of hanas. Hanas grono meav, it seems to be described as a sensual hana phenomenologically. So then you're going to say, well, they don't really mean that in terms of what you do the tashlumen, but it just seems to be a little distant. And also, it's a piece of truma. So like, it's one thing when you talk about cattle and you talk about feed and you talk about saving money, feeding cattle, that it makes sense in terms of the economics there to quantify the gain. Oh. But for a person that someone shoved a piece of truma in your stomach to quantify what you're saving meal-wise, people usually don't live on a margin like that. I don't know that it makes that much sense, but it is one possibility is just to dismiss it kind of as he means that you're saving money on a meal. It doesn't, just something about that. I just don't think that's what he means.
Just to contrast cases, the case where he holds that it is mamon is the meat in the throat.
Yes, the truma.
The case where he holds it's
guf.
Guf
is the
case of the hotel case.
Yes. Right.
So good.
Yeah, to just what's the difference between those cases? I mean, there's a clear descriptive difference between the two cases, right? How many variables do you have in the hotel case? How many variables are there?
Whether the owner rents or not.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about between the guy. I'm not sure if variables is the right word. But
no, meaning like whether he has a property nearby, that's one variable.
Well, let's talk about just in focusing on his hana. What is he deriving hana from?
Saving money on what he would have had.
Well, I'll talk about the hanas guf part. Let's talk about the hanas guf part.
Oh,
yeah, okay. The hanas guf is from what?
The shelter.
Okay, fine. So there, he gets hana from being where he is.
Yeah.
Right? He gets hana from being where he is. So he experiences hana. All you have there is an experience. Because we're not talking about mamon, right? We're talking about just the experience of the shelter. What do you have in the case of Tocha L'Toch Beis Habliya? You have what?
He has a piece of meat inside.
You're right. So there's a chefsa there. So the first thing you have is a distinction in terms of phenomenologically what's happening is, yes, experience. Just like you have Hanas Guf in the hotel, right? You have Hanas Guf here. But you also have this other interesting variable that there happens to be a chefza.
What's the difference if the chefza is in you or if you are in the chefza?
Okay, so let's think about that for a second. Okay, so one thing that said is
it's not your shelter, you don't have it.
You have some sort of a gain.
You don't have any gain, it's more something else.
Both of them, temporary. Like that meat isn't.
It's not going to sustain you for the rest of.
Okay, but sustain. We've sort of dismissed the sustenance thing, but in terms of what you've acquired, you've acquired something that has no value, though. So how do you get around that?
Yeah, at least by the shelter, you've acquired something.
Well, you haven't acquired anything by the shelter. I mean, the first step. And I think this is the right way. The first step is that there's an acquisition in one case. There's no acquisition in the hotel case. Mm-hmm. There is an acquisition here. I think that's the first step to understand the Birchas Shmuel. And you have to pay attention to those things. The way to approach these things, you're kind of like a detective. So you got to look, and on the surface, these look very similar, and you focus so much on the Hana itself, the experience, and you're overwhelmed by the fact that the Hana Sachila seems to be a much more Hana Guf type of Hana. It's a sensual hana that's more obvious than the bed and breakfast. But when you break it, when you deconstruct it, you say, wait a second. It's true it's a experience-based hana because this thing has no value and it's an achila, but there is an acquisitional element to it. It's hard to say it has an obvious financial value. I mean, it's avid min ha'olam. You're part of it. It's avid from you, too. It's hard to say that there's a private economic gain from this. I mean, that I think that's a harder road to go down. Right. I think the first that they're trying to reinvent the definition of commodity in a personal way is hard. That's a hard way to do this, I think. In terms of acquiring something with no value, it's kind of interesting. I saw
you acquire the air that you breathe in.
I'm gonna quote an unusual source here. The Ayelas HaShachar, which I doubt you guys learned a lot of the Ayelas HaShachar. And Baba Kama says that one thing that's interesting over here is, according to Tosos, even though something is Eino Shave Klum, it still has bilis. So he brings a lot of riyas. He says that not being valueless is not synonymous with being ownerless. So he has a couple of riyas. I don't want to go through his riyas. But the point is, I think it's reasonable to say that even though it's Avad Min Olam, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have a ball. It's not synonymous. I don't think that's so important for here. I think that for this, though, I think that the major step forward is to say that there's an acquisition here. And it's an acquisition of something that at this point has no economic value. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's not such a stretch to say you could acquire something without any value, because like if I buy a piece of property, I own all the rocks and sticks on it, you know, and those are valueless, but I'm like, but they're on my property, you know? It's like
yeah, so you're saying that all the rocks and the sticks that are on your land are yours? So if I took a rock off your property, I'd be chayv tashlumin?
No,
I mean, well let's ask this.
Would you be it's over valueless?
Well, it's not valueless. Well, first of all, those aren't valueless. I mean, someone would argue why the reason that you want the rocks and the sticks is because you could do something with them. So those technically aren't necessarily valueless.
Or dirt, whatever. You're going to say something about dirt?
I mean, I'm saying that there, the things that you're bringing up, if it were truly valueless, there would. I mean, you'd have to find a better riot than the rocks and the sticks in your property. But it could be you're right. But those things, if they were truly valueless, someone may argue that, no, if it's truly valueless, you don't owe them. You
what
don't
if,
own them.
What if we said
but would you be over a lot of Geneva?
If what?
If you took those rocks.
I mean, I don't know that case, but I mean, I think that someone could argue that the rocks have value. You can make gravel. Theoretically, someone could sell his rocks.
Would you be over a lot of
yeah.
stealing something that has...
If it's owned.
As long as it's owned.
Yeah.
What if you say that, like, when you purchase a property, you also... It's not just flat. You're also purchasing all the airspace.
Oh yeah, this is an interesting point. Let's not get into that, because that is an interesting, and it turns out that you're Zocha in the spatial coordinates of your place, and I know you probably know that there are lots of shilas about that you do kind of have bilis, your bilis extends. All right, but let's not do that. Let's focus on this. So what we said so far is the distinction, the first thing that we can say in our kashin, the Birchas Shmuel, is that when someone puts this truma in your throat, even though this should be a case of Hanas Guf, it seems to be the first step in saying it's Hanas Mamon is because there's an acquisition. but we are willing to concede that it's an acquisition that has no economic value, but it's an acquisition, and that's different than what happens in Hadar B'chatzar Chaver Shalom Daito, where there's no acquisition. It's pure Hanaskuf. You're sleeping on the floor. You're just enjoying the warmth of the fire and the shelter, whatever it is. But how does that help us? So saying it's an acquisition, how does that? Where does that get us? I mean, I think you have to distinguish between experience and acquisition. You experience Hana in both cases. In one case, you also have an acquisition. The question is, why does that matter? So Ari points out that really what also happens here is there's something, and I think this is the key to this thing, there's something transactional going on, even though you haven't been enriched, right? So this other guy he's losing the bialis here. You're gaining something. You're obviously going to be the new owner of what's in your stomach, although you didn't really do a kinyan, otherwise it would be gazela, and there are lots of problems with that. But from the bird's eye view, you have made an acquisition, and there is a transaction. There's something transactional going on. So how does that help us? So now we say, okay, not only is there an acquisition, but there's something transactional. Some guy's losing his rishus, it's going into your rishus, still it's valueless. What's the Birch Shmuel? How do we determine when we call something Hanas Mamon? How does this help us to distinguish what's Hanas Mamon from what's Hanas Guf?
I mean, I'm just stating the obvious, but clearly the Hanas Mamon requires a transaction.
But what does that speak to? I mean, here, what does that speaks to, as opposed, if we talk about experience of Hana, clearly the experience of the Hana here is purely sensual. It's Hanas Guf. What would we call the transaction component here? How would we describe that in terms of the situation? In this scenario, what is the transaction? What is the transaction modifying?
The only thing that's changing is it's just for him. That's the only thing that changes. He loses the truma.
He does. I think we're there. I just wanted to. I mean, what happens is you have a transaction. How would we describe? How would we distinguish that from experience when we talk about Hana? Why is that override experience? Because here you have experience. Go.
Maybe it's because in the hotel case, your Hana is something of somebody else's. This, now you're experiencing Hana, something that you acquire. It's
yeah.
Yours.
Yeah.
That makes it Hana.
Yeah. So what we're saying is that the form of the Hana itself is, there's a form to Hanas Mamon. And the form to Hanas Mamon is acquisitional and transactional. So where you have, now what's interesting here is you happen to have the form in some ways without the substance. Because in actuality, you haven't achieved anything financial. But in terms of the form of being a nena, the form is transactional and acquisitional. That gives it a din of Hanas Mamon. Hanas Guf is really a diagnosis of exclusion. Hanas Guf is where there is no transactional and acquisitional Hana. All there is essential Hana. So there you need a contemporaneous chisaron to give it a din of Hanas Mamon. But you don't need a din of Hanas Mamon where something is acquisitional. And the irony is, even though it's ownerless and valueless, even though it's valueless, you still have a din of a Hanas Mamon because of the form of the Hana. Now this would be a little bit different. This is clearly different than the way Rav Moshe sees the sugya. Rav Moshe says that every Hana would seem to require, in one of his models, even what seems to be obviously Hanas Mamon requires a chisaron to give the Hana a din mamon. I mean, when you read the Birch Shmuel, it makes it harder to understand that. But this is a very clear approach, that you have Hanas Guf, which requires chisaron to give it a din Hanas Mamon, and it has to be contemporaneous because that's how you define the Hanas Mamon through the chisaron. And then you have Hanas Mamon by form. And Hanas Mamon by form doesn't need a definition from Chisaron. You don't have to engender, you don't have to create the din of Mamon. It's there by form. It's there because it's a transactional hana. So when we see cases, when we see the next couple cases in the Gemara of cases of Zenena and questions of whether they're cases of Lo Chaser or Chaser, we can understand that most of the time these are going to be very transactional. They're going to be very obviously transactional. Pure Hanas Guf, is it turns out, is kind of rare, but this is something now we have to, this is how we have to adjudicate the cases, whether they're truly transactional cases. It'll help us to understand, at least according to the Birch HaShmuel, the Chiddush.